I like that. Amen. So y'all know my pain. Amen. All right. Nothing worse than looking for something is not where it used to be. Amen. All right. So fellowship is on this side.
Right
there. The second one from the top. Y'all got it?
Amen.
And don't play any tricks. I can just see my children now. Let's get dad. No, let's not get dad. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter number 1. We're talking about abiding in the fellowship, and John is speaking much about fellowship here. This is the Apostle John, the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Revelation, writing to his little children, which he mentions a little bit later on. And chapters 1 and 2 focus primarily on fellowship. Then chapters 3, 4, and 5 deal more with sonship, which we'll see at a later date. But I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Then I'm going to ask you to join in with me starting down in verse number 6. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship as with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Join in with me. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John is right up in your face, and he says, this is the way it is. You're either lining up or you're not. Amen. And I like that. Amen. He lets you know you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. There is no gray area with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're walking with him or you're not. You're doing the truth or you're not. You're lying or you're telling the truth. Amen. And don't you like that kind of attitude, especially when it comes to your children? Now, tell me the truth. Well, you know, it's kind of like grayish. No, it's either like this or it's like that. And that's what he's talking about. And he's saying to maintain proper fellowship, you and I have to walk in the light. In order to maintain proper fellowship, we have to do the truth. And he says, if we're not doing the truth, then we're lying. Amen. And we're deceiving ourselves. And so I like what he says here. So we're going to continue talking about fellowship. Last week, we talked about the definition of fellowship and the description of fellowship. Today, we're going to be talking about the determination involved in our fellowship. We have to be determined that we're going to abide in the fellowship with God, because it is not easy when we're tempted by our flesh. Father, speak to us this morning. Lord, you make it so crystal clear here what true fellowship with you is about. God, help us to make sure that we're determined to be in fellowship with you. It does not come without a cost and without a price. We must put our flesh to death that we may walk in the light as you're in the light. And we must make sure that we're doing the truth of the word of God, and not just making sure that we're not just saying it, but we're actually doing it. And I pray today that as we talk about abiding in the fellowship, we might continue to be determined to abide in this ship and sail throughout the remainder of this year and in the years to come in fellowship with Almighty God. I do pray there's one today that has never been convicted of their sin, and they have missed the working power of the Holy Spirit. And they may say that I have no sin. The Bible is clear that if we say that, then Lord, we have lied and we're not doing the truth. But if we confess our sins, you say you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help that man, woman, boy, or girl that has not confessed their sins to you to do so today, and abide in the fellowship that we may have sweet communion one with another. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Now minister to us, minister through us, Lord, and do a great work in our lives, helping us to leave here differently than when we came in. Lord Jesus, we love you. Now use me as your messenger to give the word of God, that hearts and ears may be open and receptive to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Ms. Dawson has our special this morning.
Troubled waters flow. Life breaks us all sometime where we need to grow. Innocence is not a crime. In time we understand and find the grace of mercy, sifting through the fingers of God's hand. I know the broken places spaces, each room my heart embraces, that God has won. In barren fields my heart was led, and I waited there alone, shaken by my brokenness as I faced the great unknown. Then I heard the voice of peace in this distant desert land. Reached out for our promise that was born for every man. I know the broken places, sown in the empty spaces. Each wound my heart embraces, that God has won. God knows the broken places, He treasures every tear. In a jar of alabaster, He'll use to wipe away the tears. Each room my heart embraces, that God has won. God heals the broken places.
Amen. We do praise God for Him healing the broken places. All of us have been broken at one time or another and in different places. Amen. By the way, hopefully this will be the last time I'll be in this boot. I won't be broken anymore. I'll be out of this by next week. Amen. By God's grace. And if I'm not, I will be broken in spirit. Amen. But I'm trusting the Lord that I will be out of this next week. The doctor assured me that if I played by the rules, I should be out of it in no time at all. And so I'm looking for that time to come. Amen. We're talking about abiding in the fellowship, and it is here this time. I see it. Amen. Thus far, we've already covered several shifts. We talked about the relationship, which is over on this side. See how I am? Getting ready to go back over there because relationship is about to be over there. Amen. Talk about relationship, making sure that we're in Christ. We've got to be born again. We've got to be saved to get that ball rolling. And once we get in the relationship, we should jump into the stewardship. And that is giving our tithe and our time and our talents and treasures to the Lord. And now we're talking about getting into the fellowship. Amen. We did talk about worship as well. Where's my worship? It's over here. Amen. And the worship, making sure we're giving God what he deserves. And by the way, he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now John begins to bring us hand in hand with our fellowship and getting in line with fellowship. We gave you this definition last week. It means joint participation or partnership. It's a communion or a communication or a sharing or coming together of friends that are interested in the same things. And I had Joshua and G2 up here last week, and the good definition is two fellas in a ship. Come on up here, Joshua, so you and I can get in our ship. Amen. Now we're in the good ship called the daddy ship and the son ship. Amen. And so in order for Joshua and I to be in this ship, I have to straighten out his tie real quick. Amen. All dads would do the same thing. Okay, so we've got to row, Joshua. So you grab hold and you've got to row with me. All right, so we're in the fellowship. Ready? Ready? Row. 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 All right, whoa. All right, so what does it mean? It means two fellas in the ship. We have to be in agreement with the way that we're rowing, and somebody's got to give the orders. And guess who that's going to be in the ship? Spoken like a true son. The father is going to be in control, and the father says, go right, go left, and so the son has to go along with me to row to make sure we go in the right directions, okay? So we're just still going straight, so row, ready? Row, row. Row. Now, if Joshua stops rowing and I keep rowing, who's doing all the work? And which way are we going to go if I keep rowing? We're going to go that way. Amen. Now, if he keeps rowing, which way are we going to go and I stop? Now, by the way, the father never stops rowing. Father's just built that way. Amen. But sometimes we can have a partner in the ship that doesn't do their part. And if Joshua doesn't do his part, amen, we could go zigzag. We could go around in circles this way. We can go around in circles that way. We could do a whole lot of things, but I'm counting on Joshua to be a good fellow in the ship. We're having unity now, and so Joshua, row, row, row. All right, stop, Joshua. Take a break. Hey, man, all right. All right, now we're going to go to the right a little bit, so we got to do like this a little bit. All right, now you got to go that way, and I go this way. Okay, so we go like that. Now, by the way, if you're going around in a circle, we have to go in opposite directions to get there. And so he has to be in tune with what I'm saying. So part of the fellowship is making sure that we are two fellows in the ship communicating and unity and going the way that the master of the ship says that we should go. Amen. And I being the master of the ship will determine where we're going. Isn't that right, son? Don't answer that. All right, you may go sit down. And so you've got the two fellows in the ship, and that is what it represents here. And so he has to be in line with me, and I've got to be in line with him. By the way, when you and I are in the fellowship, we have got to be in line with who? With God, amen? And God is lining us up with what? His word, amen? And who is helping us get lined up with his word? His Holy Spirit. So we've got his word, his Holy Spirit, and he wants to have fellowship with us. And so we talked about that last week. So when you're looking at this two fellows in a ship, that is the definition, and it's a communion, it's a partnership. We're joining into this. Paul then, or John then begins to spell out the description of this fellowship. Last week we saw in verses 1 and 2, it was a literal fellowship. He said, we actually handled Jesus Christ. We touched him. Can you imagine physically touching Jesus Christ? Amen. That's amazing. That's a literal fellowship. But then he said in verse number 3, I want you to have a lateral fellowship as well. That means that you can have the same type of fellowship that we had, except ours was physical and spiritual. Yours is just spiritual. And so he says down in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father. And with who? His Son, Jesus Christ. So he says, hey, there's a literal fellowship. There's a lateral fellowship. You can have this too. But then there's a lifting fellowship that he wanted us to consider in verse number 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be what? Full. He said, I want you to have fullness of joy here. And then coming down to verse number 5, he said, also there is a luminous fellowship to consider. He said, this is the message which we have heard of him. And we're declaring it unto you that God is light and him is no darkness at all. He said, now you got to understand something about his fellowship. God is light and him is no darkness at all. So he is about to set us up for success. You say, well, preacher, you know me. You say, set us up for failure. Amen. We're not going to fail because we're in the fellowship. Amen. And so he's about to set us up for success. He's about to let us know that if God is light and if we're in the light, guess what? We have true fellowship. But if God is in the light and we're in the darkness, guess what? We don't have fellowship. And that's what he's setting us up for. So then he begins to talk about this idea. There must be determination in our fellowship, not just a description of fellowship and a definition, but determination in our fellowship. If two fellows are in the ship, they must work together. Amos said, how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Agreed. And so we're looking at this. Our walk matters in fellowship. Our walk matters in fellowship. Notice verse 6. He already set us up in verse number 5. God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, who is him? God and Jesus Christ. And walk in darkness. Now, what is darkness? It's disobedience. It's lying. It's not doing the word of God. He says, now, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with God or Jesus, and we walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not the truth. That's just a fancy or an unfancy way of saying you're not doing right. Either you are doing the truth or you're not doing the truth. Amen. He said, now, if you walk in darkness, he said, you're lying and you're not doing the truth. Why? Because God is light and him is no darkness at all. Amen. Now, look, go over to Psalm 1. Let me illustrate this to you. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a good place to illustrate this because it deals with walking. Because 1 John said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. All right. So I'm walking. All right. And the Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that does what? Walketh. But then he says, walketh not. And who is he not walking with? The counsel of the ungodly. So if I'm walking and I've got the counsel of the ungodly with me, what can I say? That I'm walking in darkness. Because what are they going to counsel me to do? Walk in darkness. Why? Because if I'm in fellowship with them and I'm in this fellowship with them and we're in agreement, guess what? I'm agreeing with his counsel of ungodliness. And so I'm walking in that which is darkness. I'm walking in that which is not right. And so notice what else it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I'm standing the same way he's standing. I'm doing the same thing he's doing. If I'm standing here, guess where he's at? In darkness. So guess where I'm at? How can I be in light, standing with him in his counsel, doing what he's doing, and call myself being in the light? It's an impossibility. Just like I can stand here and turn the lights off and say, well, I'm standing in the light. Guess what I'm standing in? Darkness. And so he goes on to say this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So I'm over here with him, and he's a scorner, and he's scorning, and guess what? I'm agreeing with him. We're in fellowship together. I'm scorning and mocking the things of God and saying, that's foolishness. That's a lie. And so if I'm walking with someone that's not right with God, I'm agreeing with them. That's why the New Testament, the Bible, is clear about getting people out of the fellowship when they're in blatant error or blatant sin unashamedly. Now notice that, unashamedly. Now they're trying to cover their sin. They don't want it to be known. But can you imagine if I came here today and I'm just using this hypothetically. I divorced my wife yesterday and I'm proud of it. Would y'all stay here? I hope not. I wouldn't stay here. Well, I beat my wife yesterday and I don't care nothing about it. I robbed a bank yesterday and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a sodomite and I'm not ashamed of it. That's walking in darkness. Someone that says, I don't care. I don't care. By the way, there are people in churches that do those things. And the Bible says that if you're in agreement with that person, you're walking in darkness. If you're doing that, you're in darkness. And so when you look at what John is saying here, it's just like the blessed man. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what is his delight in? Notice verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he's having fellowship with the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is he going to be doing? And he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like what? The chaff which the wind drives away. So it all depends on who you want to hang out with, who you want to be in fellowship with. Do you want to be in fellowship with godliness and God's word and people like that, or people that are not right, as what John is saying? He said, if you're in ungodly fellowship, then you're walking in darkness. Amen. Let's go back over to 1 John. So he begins to set us up here, letting us know how we can know whether we're in true fellowship with God or not. So that we have, if we say that we have fellowship, verse number 6, with him and walk in darkness, we lie, or we are lying, and we are not doing the truth. By the way, the truth is something that we do as well as know. What did Jesus said? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. He said, the Son shall make you free, shall be free indeed. And so it is something that I know as well as something I do. By the way, you got free from hell and death by doing the truth. What was the truth? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. So you got saved by doing the truth. You said, hell is where I'm at right now. And because I'm a sinner, I deserve punishment. I deserve hell. But Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So I'm going to come over here and ask him to forgive me of my sin and save me. I'm going to do the truth that I know, and I'm going to be what? Saved. So you and I got saved by doing the truth. Notice what he says again. So we're talking about here, our walk matters in fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But, I like that. You know what it means? Contrary to what you just heard, you can go in this direction. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I like that. And so he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. He said, now wait a minute. We already have fellowship with the Father. And we already know that. He said, I'm letting you know God is light and him is no darkness at all. He said, now if you say that you have fellowship with him and you're in darkness, you're lying and you're not doing the truth. He said, but if you walk in the light, as we, John is speaking of himself, we are in the light. He said, you can have fellowship one with another. By the way, you can't be wrong with your brother and call yourself being right with God. Somebody say amen. It's an impossibility. Well, I got ought against my brother. Well, you got problems with God then. I'm just saying. Well, I got problems with God, but I'm right with my brother. You can't say that either. You can't be wrong with God and say you're going to be right with everybody else. Why? Because God is the justifier. Amen. And so he said, now, he said, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So John is saying that the truth is something that we do. And to have fellowship with him and God, we must walk in the light of God's word and then do it. Remember, light and darkness can't coexist, just like fire and water can't coexist. Amen. You light a match and drop it in water, what's going to happen? It's going to go out. It's going to go out. Amen. And so walking in the light is continuing to do the will and the word of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And I like this as well. Notice what he says here. He says, if we say that we have fellowship, verse 6, with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not truth. He said, you're not telling the truth. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. But he says, if we walk in the light, and I like this, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And notice this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He said, now, if you continue to walk in the light, if you happen to mess up, guess what? The blood is still there to cleanse you. The blood is still there to cleanse you. Now, I was talking to Tony last week, and I told him that, you know, as you grow in the Lord, you learn certain things about the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but early on in my Christian life, I heard The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of sin. It's the blood. It was blood. And man, I got to thinking about that. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus born from a woman? I said, well, didn't he share her blood? Oh, he shared her blood. Then that's not right. But now my spiritual mind says, if God said it, that settles it. Period. But my carnal mind said, but wait a minute, he was born of a woman. I understand the virgin part of all that, but if he's growing, isn't he sharing her blood? How many of y'all ever thought like that? None of y'all, y'all all spiritual. Y'all didn't think like that, amen? I was the only one that thought too deep into that, amen? And so I was, you know, I studied biology in school, and I said, man, and, you know, and I read something that just tickled me. And I told Tony about this, and notice what it says here in this article. It says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It says that surely has to be one of the most comforting verses in the whole Bible. It says now, it's a truth taught from Genesis to Revelation that the blood cleanses. A skeptic challenged a believer and said, how does blood cleanse sin? And that's pretty much, it was my question. How does blood cleanse sin? I understood it spiritually, but carnally it just didn't make sense to me. And he demanded, how does blood cleanse sin? The believer replied with a counter question, how does water quench thirst? He asked, the skeptic replied, I don't know, but I know that it does. Just so, the believer said, I don't know how the blood cleanses sin, I know it does. God says so. Amen. And for years, I just said, hey, God said it and that settles it. You know, but I did a little bit more research on that as I got older in Christ. And John Phillips says this. Now, how many of y'all know about the anatomy of having a baby? Most of us know the anatomy. How many know the physiology behind it, though? And John Phillips said this. The blood that flows through an unborn baby's arteries and veins is not derived from his mother. How many of y'all knew that? I didn't know that. I thought they shared the same blood. It's not derived from the mother. The baby's blood cells are its own, produced within the body of the fetus. Angiogenesis, I guess, or blood vessel formation begins about 13 to 18 days into the embryo's life. From the time of conception to the time of birth of the infant, not a single drop of blood passes from the mother to the child. Not a single drop. The mother contributes no blood at all. None. And then that answered my question. I thought, wow. So there is no transfer of blood, because if Mary's a sinner and she shares blood with Jesus, what would that make Jesus? But even scientists have proven that that is not the case. They don't share the same blood. So the scriptures say the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, for you skeptics out there, I went and I Googled it too. Just in case you're a skeptic. And I Googled this. Does the blood of the fetus and the mother ever mix? And this is what came up. One of the placenta's jobs is to make sure blood from the mother and fetus never mixes. The placenta acts as an exchange surface between the mother and the fetus. Nutrients and oxygen are passed over by diffusion only. If the mother's and fetus's blood mixed, it could be deadly for both of them. Then I Googled it a different way. I Googled, do the maternal and fetal blood mix? Trying to trick Google. And it came back. The placenta is part of the communication between the fetus and the expectant mother. Most people tend to think of this communication as the route of exchange where the mother's blood and the fetus's blood mix and exchange, but this is a myth. The fetal blood and maternal blood do not mix. And being the type of person that I am, I Googled it a different way. I Googled, do mother and child share the same blood while in the womb? And it came back, no, they do not. The placenta is an amazing organ that allows nutrients to pass through to the baby while preventing blood sharing. Mother and child can have different blood types with no problem because they are never shared. Of course, I Googled a few more times. I'm not going to share those times. But they all came back the same. No, 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 no. baby and mother's blood never mix. So it's true what the Bible said thousands of years ago, before scientists ever figured it out, that this was a miraculous thing that happened, that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from sin. Scientists have proven it. But even if they didn't, guess what? God said it, and that settles it. Amen. We can't get away from the sinless blood of the Lamb of God for cleansing. Even the scientists have to agree. Amen. Google it for yourself. John Phillips goes on to say this. By means of the virgin birth, the Holy Spirit ensured that the Lord Jesus had a truly human body derived from Adam, but his blood came from quite another source. The Lord Jesus, as man, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God was his Father. Consequently, he had divine, sinless, incorruptible blood. This is the blood that cleanses us from all sin. Amen and amen. What am I saying? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, even if we mess up, the blood continues to cleanse us. Guess what? It cleansed us yesterday. It cleanses us today, and it'll cleanse us tomorrow and forever. Why? It's the blood of God. Amen. And amen. And so Tony, I told Tony as a young Christian, I was always like, I just took it for granted that the Bible said in that cells. I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it. Then I Googled and I said, man, that's simple as it comes. Amen. They don't share blood. Amen. I didn't know that. Amen. How many of y'all knew that already? How many didn't know it? See, y'all learned something today in church. Amen. All right. Y'all take, go home and Google it. Amen. And Google it several different ways like I did. Amen. I said, I'm going to try it a different way. Amen. So there must be determination in our fellowship. Our walk matters in fellowship. He says, but if we walk in the light, if we're doing the word of God, if we're walking in obedience to his word, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We can have fellowship with the brethren and with everybody else that's right with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How much sin? All sin. So no matter where you go, no matter what you do, the blood is sufficient to cleanse the sin, because it's holy blood. It's God's blood. Amen. And it's the sinless blood that was sacrificed for you and for me. And so our walk matters in fellowship. But then secondly, something else. God's word matters in our fellowship. God's word matters in our fellowship. We got to have determination in our fellowship. Our walk matters, but God's word matters in our fellowship. Notice verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many of y'all ever heard somebody say, I've never sinned? I've never sinned. Amen. I never sinned. As soon as somebody approached me, I knew I had sinned. They didn't have to ask me twice. Are you a sinner? Yep. But there are some people like, well, depends on what your definition is. God's definition. Have you done something wrong? Well, it depends on whose law. God's law. Have you disobeyed your parents? Well, I was kind of innocent. That guilty. Guilty. When mama said come, guess what you said? No. And you ran the other way. We were watching this. We was at the Walmart yesterday, and little dad was calling for the boy's hand, and the boy was kind of like, hey, and dad reached and he said, come on, give me your hand. The boy wouldn't give his hand, so dad reached and grabbed his hand. And you know what that little boy did? I said, sons, if you ever try and do something like that, you're going to get home and you won't be able to sit out for a while. They said, oh, did you see that, dad? Yeah, I saw it. I'm glad you never did. I mean, just beat his dad off. And I thought, whoa, man. Hey, all of us have done that when we were children. And guess what that is? Sin. We've disobeyed our parents. We've disrespected our parents. We've lied. We've not always told the truth. Amen. You say, but it was a white lie. Pink, purple, blue, orange. I don't care what color you put on it. It's still a lie. Well, mine was pink. It was kind of feminine. I don't care. Pink, black, it doesn't matter. Well, I told it in good faith to say, no, it's a lie. I don't care what kind of faith you told. It was lying faith. That's what it was. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? He says down here, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So in other words, he said, the word of God is not abiding in you. If you can say that you're not a sinner, verse 9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? all unrighteousness. So God's word matters in our fellowship. God's word is truth. Amen. The truth is not in us. He said, if you can say that. Now, let me break it down to you. This is exactly what's going on here. He says, if we say that we have no sin, that phrase actually means that I am not a sinner. That's what that phrase means. I am not a sinner. But then he uses a different phrase in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, plural, that's talking about the actions that we do. One, talking about if we say we have no sin, that's what we are. That's the root of who we are. We're a sinner. And because we are a sinner, we do what's called sins. That's the fruit of what we do. So one is the root, the other is the fruit. One is who we are, another is what we do. He said, if you're saying that you're not a sinner, that's a problem already. But if you admit that you are and confess your sins, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So the verse number 8, sin is who we are. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Why? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God's word must be trusted as well as tested. Notice what he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I read a devotion just a couple days ago talking about serious confession. Let me share it with you. It was based on 1 John 1:9. It was in Paul Chappell's devotion on revival. He says this. I read about a man who responded to the invitation of evangelistic service. I'm a Christian, he told the man who met him at the altar. But there's a sin in my life and I need help. The counselor read some verses of scripture and then encouraged him to confess his sins to God. The man began to pray like this. Oh, Father, if we have done anything wrong. The counselor interrupted him. Don't drag me into your sin, he said. There is no if or we involved in your sin. If you want forgiveness, you need to get down to business with God and be specific with your sins. Please do not drag me into your sin. And please do not say if you have sin. Often we try to minimize our sin. We blame others rather than accepting responsibility for what we have done. We make excuses to downplay and deflect our guilt. If we want to experience the forgiveness and restoration that God promises, we must genuinely confess. The Bible principle of confession is a full admission of responsibility and an agreement with God about the nature of our sin. From the very first sin in the Garden of Eden, when Adam blamed Eve for eating the forbidden fruit, people have been attempting to avoid dealing with their sin and blaming others ever since. Because of God's holy hatred of sin, he is not interested in our excuses of if and why, and he will not accept our half-hearted apologies for what we barely admit having done. Don't if and we, be specific. Amen. Hey, there you go. And now, how many of y'all have done that? Don't even raise your hand. I know all of it. Lord, if I've offended you, God. All sin is an offense towards God. Amen. Lord, if you were offended by me telling that lie, it's like going to a parent with, Mom, if you were offended by me lying on you. Well, Dad, if you were offended by me telling that lie on you, I was. Well, if you were, no, if I was. Well, Dad, since you were offended, that's more like it. Since you were offended by me lying on you. Mom, since you were offended by me lying on you. Dad, since I stole the cookies. Mom, since I didn't make up my bed. Dad, since I didn't mow the grass. Pick the weeds for us, amen. Mom, since I didn't wash the dishes. No, don't come up here. Well, Mom, if I didn't wash the dishes, you know whether you wash the dishes or not. He says, if we confess our what? Sins. He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our what? Sins, the acts, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does that mean that we're not saved? No, it doesn't mean that we're not saved. It means that we're out of fellowship with God. He's still rowing, and we stopped a long time ago. So we're out of fellowship, and our job then is to agree with God as to what we did, confess it, and we get restored again. What does he say up there in verse number 7 again at the end? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? cleanses us. Now, I like that. It's a continual action verb, TH. It means it has cleansed in the past, it is cleansing now, and it will continue to cleanse in the future. Cleanse us from all sin. If we say, verse 8, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He said, you really don't even understand the word of God if you're saying you're not a sinner. Amen. But if we confess our sins, not a but in there, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means trustworthy and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, the word confess means to acknowledge, to agree with God, to say the same thing about sin that God says about it. If mom said you didn't wash the dishes, what should child say? I didn't wash the dishes. If dad said you didn't pull the weeds, what should you say? Dad, I didn't pull the weeds. If mom says you didn't clean your bedroom up, guess what? I didn't clean my bedroom up. And if you're in my house, it's not only did I not clean my bedroom up, it's I didn't clean it up to daddy's standard because daddy has a standard that he likes. If I go in Faith's room sometimes, I move some of the Faith stuff. He said, Dad, why did you put it over there? I said, it looks neater over there. But Dad, isn't this my room? I said, you don't own a room in this house. This is a room that we let you stay in. But can I have it over here? Ask your mother, but I want it over here. Mom said, put it over there, put it over there. I'm hoping mom will say, ask your dad. What happens? If it's wrong, it's wrong. Period. He said, we confess our sins. The plural. He is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's word matters in our fellowship. God's word is truth. God's word must be trusted in verse 9. But then we come to verse number 10, and God's word must be tested. He says, now if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The word of God is not in us, he's saying. It's not abiding in us. We may know of it. We may reference it, but it's not abiding in us. He said, now, if we say that we have not sinned, if I can say that I'm not guilty of doing anything wrong, we make him a liar, and God is not a liar. Everything that God says is truth. But he says, your word obviously is not abiding in us. By the way, one of the first things that the Holy Spirit does to you is convince you of sin. Go over to John chapter 16. So we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word's not in us. John chapter 16. One of the first things that the Holy Spirit does is convict you and I of our sin. Talking about the fellowship, John 16. And John 16, notice verse number 8. He said, nevertheless, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, Holy Spirit, Comforter. When he has come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin. He's reproving them or proving them to be wrong in the area of sin. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. And of judgment. What judgment? Judgment to come. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so one of the first things that the Holy Spirit's job is to do is to convict you and I of our sin. John said over there, hey, look, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not even in us. Amen. One of the first jobs the Holy Spirit does is convict you of sin. And guess what he does right after that when you get saved? Convict you again. I got saved Sunday afternoon, about 2 o'clock. My wife and I both got saved. I went home. I don't know what she did, but I went home and started drinking right away. I mean, I went to the refrigerator. I had a bunch of beer in there. I got that beer, and I set it down on that table. I cracked it open. You say, preacher, why did you do that? Because that's what I always did on Sunday. And I was going to keep on with my habits. And I went home just because I went to church. I did this all the time when I went to church. Come home and drink. Didn't y'all? Don't raise your hands. Amen. I got that thing open. I came home, and I sat down, and I turned that thing up. I put it down. I felt about as horrible as you could feel. I felt about as low as a slug. I felt deeper than the earth. I thought, what happened? I drank some more. And I felt even worse. And I drank some more. And I felt even worse. I said, man, what's wrong? And I went and got another one out. I think I got another one. And before you know it, I drank about 10. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm saved now, so I can do this. I felt so bad. That had never happened to me before. What happened? Conviction. He will convince the world of sin. Nobody had to come in there and say, thou shalt not drink. This is not right for the Christian. Nobody had to come in there and say, beer is not for you, you bonehead. Nobody had to tell me that. You should not drink this beer. As soon as I turned it up and put it down, guess what? The Holy Spirit said, this doesn't go with your life. This is not who you are. This is not what God intended for you. You don't even feel good, do you? I said, no, I feel miserable. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to drink more to see if I can dodge it. And I couldn't dodge it. I didn't get even a little bitty buzz. You know what I got? Misery. You know what I got? Whoa. You know what I got? Convicted. Why? When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. And he proved to me that that was sin. I didn't need a lecture. I didn't need a lesson. All I needed was the Holy Spirit. And he told me, friend, if you've got the Holy Spirit, he will tell you what's right, what's wrong. He will tell you whether you're walking in the light or whether you're walking in the dark. He will tell you whether you're doing the truth or whether you're lying and not doing the truth. He will tell you quicker than you want to get it. Amen. And so when he has come, the Bible says he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so when you look at what John is saying here, go back to John, 1 John. There must be determination in our fellowship. Our walk matters in fellowship. He says again in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Their walk, our walk, his walk, the walk must match the walk of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Our walk matters in fellowship. God's word matters in fellowship. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sin is what we are. It's the root. If we confess our sins, that is what we do. That's the fruit. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We have to agree with God. God, in this fellowship, I'm not doing my part, but God, I want to be cleansed. And your word says, you're faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins. Whenever I mess up, your word says, you'll forgive me. I don't know about you, but when I was a baby Christian, that was one of my favorite verses. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And it's not if I have sinned, it's when I sin. Lord, I have sinned. This is what I've done. And then lastly, he says down there, God's word matters in our fellowship. God's word is truth. God's word must be trusted. But then verse number 10, God's word must be tested. It's easy to test God's word. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Just go to the Ten Commandments and start with number 1 and see how you do. Simple as that. And all of us will fail when we come down to children, obey your parents and the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. All of us will fail. All of us will. John wants to make sure that we are determined to stay in fellowship, and he lets us know we're either in light or we're in the dark. We're either walking in truth or we're walking in a lie. And he says, if you want fellowship with Jesus Christ, if you want fellowship with God, if you want fellowship with us, then you've got to make sure you're walking in the light. You've got to make sure that you're doing the truth. He says, otherwise you're lying and you're not doing the truth. Next week when we come back, we're going to talk about the development of our fellowship. How does this fellowship develop? We know the right and wrong. We know the light, the darkness. We know the truth and not the truth. We know that if we're going to abide, we've got to be like the blessed man and walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. We know that we've got to do that. But how does this develop? And we'll talk about that next week. My question is, how's your fellowship today? Are you abiding in the fellowship? It starts with your relationship. You must be born again. Goes into your stewardship. You've got to make sure that you're being a good steward of what God has given you. Then God wants you to worship him in spirit and truth. But he wants constant fellowship with you. He wants that agreement. He wants that union. He wants that cooperation. And John says that we can have it and we can get it if we know the truth and do it. If we are walking in the light as he is in the light. And when we mess up, we're confessing. to Jesus Christ. Lord, this is what I've done. No ifs, ands, or buts, Lord, this is what I've done. I don't know where you're at today in your fellowship, but God wants you to abide in the fellowship. If you're not saved here, he wants to have you in a relationship. He died for you. He gave heaven's best for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants fellowship with you. Are you in the fellowship? If you're not saved, get saved today. If you're in the fellowship, but you're in the darkness, then God wants you to have true fellowship with him. Confess your sins. He said he's faithful. Faithful and just. There's no reason to forfeit good fellowship with God because we don't want to confess. He already knows. Call it what it is. And ask him to restore your fellowship. If you're not saved, come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today and get true fellowship from a relationship with Almighty God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment. Father, we thank you for showing us fellowship through the Apostle John. They had literal fellowship extending to us a lateral fellowship, which lends and leads to a lifting fellowship of joy within. But it's a luminous fellowship because it sheds light on who we are and what we do. And John lets us know we've got to be determined because our walk matters. We've got to walk in the light. Help us, Lord, to know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us of all sin when our walk fails and we don't do what's right. And then, Lord, help us to understand that your word matters in our life. We've got to know what we need to do to maintain fellowship. Thank you so much that you warn us. And we can know that we're in fellowship, and we can know when we're not. Lord, help us to be in true fellowship with thee today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and looking around, how many would be honest today and say, preacher, if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven. There is no doubt in my mind. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and that's been settled a long time ago. Not because you joined this church, you got baptized, but because you repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save you. How many would say, preacher, that's me? You raise your hand, and just some testimony of how faithful God is. I've been saved. I've been born again. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I know I'm saved. Amen. You may put him down. Praise God for your honesty. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand today. Maybe if you died, you're unsure that you'd go to heaven, but you're concerned about it. I want to pray for you today. If you're here today and you say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely sure. Can you pray for me in your closing prayer? I won't pick you out. I won't call you up front, but I do want to pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, though. I'm concerned. Right where you're at, just raise it up and I'll acknowledge it and put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? I'm not sure, but I'd like to get it settled. Father, thank you for the honesty of the one that raised their hand, and pray that you speak to the heart of that individual. Help them realize they're around people that love them and care for them. And they can get it settled today, but they must move and they must ask to be saved. Lord, for Christians that are here today, help us to check our fellowship. We're walking in darkness. We're lying and not doing any truth. Lord, if we say that we haven't sinned and we deceive ourselves and your truth is not in us, Lord, help us to never get to that point where we're deceiving and denying the truth of the word. But help us, Lord, to go forward, confessing our sins moment by moment, keeping short accounts with you, and letting you know what it is that we have done. And not if we've sinned, but Lord, when we sin and what we did by sinning. Help our children to be honest. Help us as adults to be honest. Help us as singles to be honest. No matter who we are, where we are, help us to be honest. Have a faithful fellowship with thee. Work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Natasha is going to play a hymn of invitation. If God spoke in your heart, why don't you come today? Let God speak to your heart. Not coming with "if I've sinned," but "God, I have sinned." Maybe you say, "I want to improve my fellowship with Almighty God. No, I'm not walking as good as I need to. I want to be like the blessed man. I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't want to stand in the way of sinners. I don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. I want to abide and meditate in the law of the Lord and His law. I want to meditate day and night. I want to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth its fruit in its season. One where his leaf does not wither. I want to be like that." Maybe you're here today, you say, "I want to improve my Christian walk." Why don't you come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you with the fellowship? He says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you can have fellowship, one with him. All it takes is dedication, determination on your part. I want to walk with Christ. I want to walk more secure in the Word of God. I want to be what God wants me to be. I don't want to deceive myself. I know I have faults. I know I can slip. I know I can sin. But I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me of all sin. What a blessed verse that is. We confess our sins. He's faithful. He's just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, let us never get to the point where we say, "I've not sinned. I don't have any sins to confess. I'm above that." You know, the ironic part about it is the closer we get to God, the more sinful we see that we are. The further we get away from God, the more we think we're pretty good. So if you're constantly confessing your sins, you're getting closer and closer to our God in heaven. But if you're not confessing sins that often, you're far away. Very far. It's like putting yourself up close to a mirror or magnifying glass and seeing what's really there. The closer you get to God, you see what's really there. And the Holy Spirit's trying to point it out to you. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Fellowship is what John's talking about. He said, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Maybe today you raise your hand saying you're not saved. If you did, would you like to get saved? If so, we can help you. We can take a Bible, we can take a few moments of your time, show you what you need to do to get saved. But you have to want it. And you have to see that you need it. You have to see that you're a sinner. You have to see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to see the wages of sin is death. But the glorious gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be born again today. Start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I'm so thankful for the blood that cleanses me of all sin. Past sins, present sins, and future sins. You can have that too. Christian, let's stay confessed up. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. What even scientists have to recognize that the miraculous blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse if we put our faith and trust in that blood. It's not like other blood. It is special blood. It's unique blood. It's God's blood. Lord, whether we believed it before today, or maybe some of us have believed it on blind faith like I did, now we truly have documentation for the skeptics and the scoffers. And even if they don't believe, we still have faith and we believe. The Word of God is true, and there is no lie at all. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for saving me, allowing me to know whether I'm walking in the light or in darkness, allowing me to know whether I'm in truth, whether I'm in error. And every Christian that is here, Lord, we can have our fellowship improved today. Help our young people, Lord, as they look at a summer ahead to walk in light, to walk in truth, as they look at time alone and spent doing things, help them to walk in light this summer. Help us as adults to keep them occupied with things that are profitable for them. And Lord, I do pray that throughout the summer months, us as adults, as we go on vacations, we can walk in the light and we can walk in truth. But Lord, when we stumble, we thank you that we can confess our sins. And you said you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can come back and enjoy a saintly summer and having our sins forgiven. And Lord, for the one that raised their hand, help them not to leave today until they get it settled, knowing for sure that they're born again on their way to heaven. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bring us back tonight to enjoy some cake and honor our students and our graduates. We thank you for loving us. Meet our need now. Help us to leave here differently than when we came in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Pastor White has our closing announcements. Don't forget, young people, be back tonight. Amen. Cake for you and acknowledgement as well.